Elhamdülillah, elhamdülillah, elhamdülillah. Estağfurullah, estağfurullah, estağfurullah. El-Azim, el-Lezi, la ilahe illa hu el-hayyul kayyum. Ve etubi ilek, ve estelev tebete, vel mağfirete, vel hidayete. İnnehu huve tevvabur rahim. Ve afu anna ya kerim, ve afu anna ya kerim. وَعَفُ عَنَّا يَا كَرِيمُ وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا بِفَضْلِكَ يَا رَحْمَنُ يَا رَحِيمُ يَا مَلِكُ يَا قُدُّوسُ يَا حَافِظُ يَا اللَّهُ اَلْاَوَّلُ اللَّهُ الْآخِرُ اللَّهُ الظَّاهِرُ اللَّهُ الْبَاطِنُ اللَّهُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ Esselatu vesselamu aleyke ya seyyidine velveline vel akilin. İşfelene ya şefiyel müznibin. Bir rahmetike ya rahmer rahimin. Kalallahu teala fi kitabel aziz. Euzu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. İnne iddeteşşuhuri indallahi ithna aşara şehren fi kitabillahi. يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ Allah-u Teala said in the book, the number of months in the sight of Allah is 12 in a year. By Allah's ordinance, this is the fact. He created the heavens and the earth. Four of them are sacred. That is the straight usage, the true law of God. Allah Ta'ala in the book talks about four sacred months. Although they are not explicitly mentioned, from the practices of the time and from the traditions of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, we know that these 4 months, which Allah Ta'ala clearly stated that they were sacred, were Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, the month of Muharram, which we are in right now, and the month of Rajab, which was set with the traditions of Rasulullah as the month of Allah. The three of these 4 months are consecutive, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram. And even before Arabia was honored by Islam, these months were considered sacred in the honor of the pilgrims. You know, pilgrimage was there even before the time of Prophet. In respect to the rights and in respect to the security of the pilgrims, Zulqa'dah is the preparation month for Hajj. Zulhijjah is the month of Hajj. And Muharram is the month they come back once they finish their obligations. Also, the month of Muharram is considered the first month in the calendar year, in the Islamic calendar year. You know, before the time of Hazrat Umar, there was no calendar. They were not counting the years. Counting the years started at the time of Hazrat Umar with the suggestion of Hazrat Ali, because they had the need to count the years. They started the first year. And they declared that an important event of the time was the migration from Mecca to Medina, and that year was selected as the first year. And the Muharram was selected as the first month because after the Hajj, everybody came back and they started their business. They started their year. And that was why Muharram was selected as the first month of the year. And Muharram has nothing to do with the time of the migration. Hijra started in the month of Safar, not in the month of Muharram. Muharram is an important month. It is a month that we are supposed to show respect. Many things happen. In particular, the 10th of Muharram is a very important day when you look at the history of mankind. which is Monday. This is the 7th of Muharram. But a lot of things happen on the day of the 10th of Muharram. It is reported that on that day, it is reported by the traditions that on that day, Prophet Adam was descended upon the earth. He met Eve in the Mount Arafah on that particular day, 10th of Muharram. The bark of Noah touched the land, found the land after long days of flood and rain on the 10th of Muharram. Joseph was saved from the well when he was thrown at the well by his brothers on that particular day. Moses spoke to Allah Ta'ala, the one who spoke Allah Ta'ala, Karimullah, on that particular day. Moses and his people was saved from the tyranny of Pharaoh that day when the Red Sea was split into two and gave them a passage and then closed back again and Pharaoh and his people died. Jonah was saved, delivered from the belly of a whale on that day, 10th of Muharram. Jesus was attempted to be crucified and he was ascended on that day, 10th of Muharram. All these we celebrate. All these we rejoice. However, one of the most tragic, one of the most sad events that have ever happened in the history of Islam also happened on the 10th of Muharram. That is the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein. He and 72 members of his family were massacred in Karbala. The sad part of the whole story, not only he and his family was martyred, but at the same time, this wicked, heinous, ugliest crime of the history was committed by people who called them Muslims. You know, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein were the beloved grandsons of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah loved his grandsons very much. In one tradition, he said that they heard him praying that, "Oh Allah, I love these children. You love them too. And pray for them." In another tradition, he said that if anyone loves Hassan and anybody loves Hussein, it is like they love me. So if we do not go back into the history, if you don't understand what has happened, if you do not take lessons from the history, then we cannot learn. If we cannot take lessons from the history, we become lesson to the history. All the events of the past, we have to contemplate upon, and we have to understand the meaning of this colossal sacrifice that was done by Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. They sacrificed their lives and the lives of their family, and there must be a reason for that. And all that we have to study, understand the meaning of it, and then try to apply it to our lives. So that these events, these terrible events don't repeat, although it has been happening over and over again. Kabilas are being built year after year. Muslims are killing everywhere each other. Because we did not take lessons from the history and could not apply those lessons to our lives. The people who killed the beloved grandsons of Rasulullah, Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat, the fact is that they were blinded with the ambition of position, with the desire of becoming a leader, with the desire of collecting the power around them. As simple as that. They were so blinded that they did not care the principles of Islam. They did not have any compassion. They lost their consciousness. The ambition to become a leader, the ambition to become, to have the power, blinded their consciousness. Even against the families of Rasulullah.
neither Hazreti Hasan nor Hazreti Hüseyin had anything to do with this ambition.
They were the grandsons of Rasulullah. They were the sons of Hazreti Ali, Keremallahu Vechehu. They resided in Medina. They lived in peace. They were loved and respected. In this very intoxicated atmosphere that everybody is trying to do mischief to be able to get positions, to be able to get the power, to become a caliph, Hazreti Hasan walked away from this position to become a caliph. He walked away from it because when he looked at it, he had a good reason. First of all, this position lost its spirituality and it became a symbol of power, symbol of tyranny, symbol of wealth. And the thing is that there were so many people around him, he wanted him to become the caliph, and there was Muawiyah with a big force threatening everyone, threatening to kill everyone. He did not want Muslims to kill Muslims. He walked away to be able to avoid, Muslims killing each other. So after Hazrat Hasan walked away from this, Muawiyah became the caliph. And then he saved many lives because there was no war. There was no contention. And people did not kill each other. And he started living in Medina peacefully. But even that, when he was living in Medina, there was so much love and respect and people were around him, that was even a threat for Muawiyah. He was poisoned. His mere presence, the love and compassion that he gathered for the people that he gathered around him, was a threat. And he was poisoned for them. This is long before Karbala. After Hazrat Hasan's martyrdom, Muawiyah started promoting his son, Yazid, to take this position, to become a caliph. That was completely against the principles of Islam, at the same time that was completely against the traditions of the Prophet. Because you cannot pass this position from father to son. Hazrat Hussein never pledged allegiance to Muawiyah, and he never pledged allegiance to Yazid. But when Muawiyah died, when Yazid became the caliph, and people in Medina around Hazrat Hussein did not pledge allegiance for the Yazid, did not accept him as the caliph, people around Yazid started talking to Yazid and said, unless you kill, or unless you force Hazrat Hussein to pledge allegiance to you, unless you force him to accept you as the caliph, there is no way that you can have power. He is so respected, he has so much power that they will never respect you, recognize you. So with the help of the people of Kufa in Iraq, they had a plan. They invited people of Kufa, invited him. They said that they are forced to accept Yazid's leadership and they needed support. There wasn't much choice. Either indirectly he would have accepted Yazid's, the tyrant's, Khilafah, by not going there, by not accepting their invitation, it was an indirect acceptance of Yazid's power, or he was going to go there. When he decided to go, when he decided to respond to this invitation to go and face the tyrant, many people around him, including Ibn Abbas, his sister, Zainab bint Ali, they said to him that, you know the people of Kufa, you know how they were deceptive to our father, you know how they killed our brother, do not go there. Do not go there, do not, this is a game, this is a deception. And he said that, I know what is going to happen to me, I'm going there knowing what is going to happen to me. And he went there. And he went there, when he went to Karbala, he saw that all the people invited him against the tyranny of Yazid was on the side of Yazid. 5,000 people surrounded 72 people and massacred them.
He had 73 wounds. None of them was a wound of a sword. Nobody was able to approach him. They killed him with arrows and spears. When the incident happened, this is the important part. When the incident happened, in the eyes of many Muslims, they were able to see how misguided, how wicked Yazid was. To be able to demonstrate, to be able to show this to people, he had to sacrifice his life. His life was sacrificed to give people a message that they had to stand against tyranny, even if they had to sacrifice their life. And when the incident was heard, it was a shock. Everybody saw the reality. And not only with this incredible, colossal sacrifice that this Hussein did, but at the same time, with the strong speeches, his sister, Zainab bint Ali, was with him. And courageously, she started to talk against Yazid and against the people of Kufa. And she said directly to the people of Kufa, "Oh, deceitful people, do weep a lot and laugh less, since you brought shame on yourselves and you will never be able to cleanse it forever." When he started talking about what has happened, it was not possible for Yazid to keep any respect under that. A few years later, he died. They say that he fell off his horse. Their remains are unknown. But the important thing here is that the beloved sons of the Prophet taught us several lessons. Hazrat Hassan taught us the lesson that lives of Muslims, to save the lives of Muslims is much more important than having a position. But Hazrat Hussein, by sacrificing his life, he demonstrated that when the time comes to struggle against the tyrants and corruption, it may be necessary to sacrifice whatever we have, even if it is your life. He demonstrated us with a colossal sacrifice that standing against tyranny is an obligation. And he also demonstrated and taught us a tradition of Hazrat Rasul Kibriya, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, who said, salatu wassalam, whenever you encounter something wrong, tyranny, undo it with your hands. And that's exactly the sample of Hazrat Hussein. He tried to undo injustice with his hands, and actually after that, justice prevailed. After they saw how heinous, how wicked Yazid was, instead of injustice, justice prevailed after that. If you're not able to do so, Rasulullah said, try to undo it with your tongue. And that's exactly what his sister, Hazrat Zainab bint Ali, did. He spoke against the tyranny. And because of his speeches after the Karbala incident, people learned what has happened, and she did not have any fear. And finally, he said, even if you're not able to do that, if you don't have the power to speak against the tyranny, at least open your hearts and feel compassion against the victims and pray for them. May Allah Ta'ala open our hearts so that we can understand the meaning of the sacrifices of the people, of the family of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, all the most merciful, most forgiving one, forgive our sins. Give us strength against the trials, difficulties of this world. Help us cleanse our hearts from the evil qualities of ambition, from the evil qualities of arrogance, vengeance, hypocrisy, anger. Help us try to cleanse ourselves from the excessive love of this world, possession. When you saw us impatient against little trials,
you do not increase your trials upon us. Make us grateful of all the bounties that you poured upon us. As you have gathered us here, gather us in the hereafter, in the vicinity of the one whom you have created as the mercy upon the universes, and make us worthy to his intercession. Amen. Amen. Elhamdülillah. Allahümme salli ala seyyidina Muhammedin maktelehel melevan ve te'akkadel asrlan ve kerrelel cedidan ve stakbelel fevdelen ve velib ruhahu ve ervaha ehli beytihi minet tahiyyata ve selam ve barik ve sellim aleyhi ketiren ve sallallahu ala seyyidina Muhammedin ve ala cemil enbiyayı vel mursilin ve levliyayı ve salihin ve ala melaketike vel mukarrabin ve ala ehli taatike ecmaine min ehli senaviyatı ve ahlil abedin ve ridvanullahi ala Resulullah ve ashabi ecmain. Amin.